Hello and welcome back, everyone. Damien Deakey here with the School of Attraction podcast. Now, today's guest actually was interesting timing. He reached out to me by email and he said, hey, Damien, my name's Nick. And you know, I want to talk to your guys, potentially, would they be interested in talking about raising testosterone levels? And, you know, all the implications that come with low testosterone levels. And it was really good timing because in my own life, you know, I've noticed that my hormone levels have changed, right? I've noticed a number of things shift, and especially been getting back in the gym. And it's really pertinent for me. Like, I'm genuinely personally interested in this chat. So that's, you know, nice timing, Nick, on reaching out to me. But his name is Nick Sulius, and he works out of Ontario, Canada. And essentially, he's a men's fitness and health coach, but he really specializes in helping men raise testosterone levels, especially post 30 years old. Did I kind of get all that right, Nick?
You got all that right. The only thing you left out I'm from Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Thunder Bay. I like
Thunder
it.
Bay. That name. Way down north. Way up north. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why that name just makes me, it raises my testosterone levels as well. I'm from Thunder Bay.
Thunder Bay.
So, all right. I mean, look, give us a little bit of a sort of a background. How did you learn this stuff? What's your background here? And how did you come into, you know, talking about men and men's testosterone levels?
Sure. So, my background in the health and fitness space, it really all started when I'll go back all the way to high school. Because when I was in high school, I was a really small kid. I was about 95 pounds entering high school. But I really enjoyed playing basketball. And at the time, I had these aspirations to play basketball at the university here in Thunder Bay. And it just so happens that I did play university basketball for a year and a little bit. But in order to get there, it took a lot from me. Being in the gym, building muscle, because sure, I was very skilled, but I would get pushed around a lot. And it really bothered me. So the coaches would always say, you know, you need to get in the gym. And so what I did was I put myself in that environment. And from the day I picked up a weight, it never really stopped it was summer of grade 10. I got to work with some excellent coaches. There was one ex-basketball player who I first started working out with, and we would do calisthenics, which is, it'd be like 10 sets of 10 pull-ups and 10 sets of 10 dips and a lot of bodyweight stuff. Then I moved into working with the trainers at Lakehead University, some of the ones that were coaching the men's basketball team. And I was around guys that were big. And these guys really, there's a few in general that inspired me to build muscle and look like them at that time. So the journey was, it was crazy. You know, I did end up putting on a lot of muscle, played basketball. But during that time, I never really focused on nutrition, which was a huge part of building muscle. And because I was working out and I was practicing on the courts and I was really, really active, it didn't really matter that much because I just needed to eat as much as possible. But when I left university basketball, this is when I really found out that I needed to focus on nutrition, because I was still working out because it's something I always wanted to do, but I found that I was gaining more fat than I wanted. I was having more even depressing thoughts than, and I knew this was from the food. You know, I'd have trouble sleeping, I'd have cramps at night, and I knew my hormones were off. So what I did was I took, you know, from when I was 22, I'm 26 now, to really dedicating how to optimize my natural testosterone, because I knew that down the road, this wasn't going to work for me, just eating as much as possible, not caring about what I'm eating. And this led me to figuring out the nutritional aspect, the sleeping aspect, exercise aspect of being able to optimize my testosterone levels so that I could build muscle while minimizing the amount of fat, while looking better, clearing up acne that I had on my face, the puffiness that came from the influx of carbohydrates and the food that I was eating. So I figured out a system, and I use it with the men that I work with now that are over 30 that need it now more than ever to optimize their natural levels of testosterone, because one in four men in America have low levels of testosterone and rising. And it's something that I really took an interest in, and it's something that this system is something that I follow and live through every day now.
Interesting. And so, all right. So certainly a lot of the guys listening here are over 30 and many are approaching 30. What would be the symptoms? What would be some of the things that the guys would notice if their T levels are dropping?
It's very interesting. Low levels of testosterone, it's a very subtle killer, I would say. But you might notice throughout the day, you have periods where you're low energy. Or sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like getting up. You feel like hitting that snooze button. Maybe you have excess visceral fat or stomach fat accumulating. Maybe it's getting harder for you to lose weight, even though you're exercising more. These are all factors that are showing these men, and showing men in general, that they're experiencing lower levels of testosterone. And it could even be, as well, brain fog, not being mentally clear, having trouble going to sleep. So it's something that it's there, but it gets brushed off, in a sense.
Hmm. Yeah, it is actually easy. I mean, like you said, it's you know, I just say one in three, one in four.
One in four men in America.
One in four men, right? And this is the interesting thing, because it's like obesity in America. When you look around and most people are overweight, because it's normal, it doesn't feel like a thing that you need to pay attention to. You know what I mean? And so if you're like, well, yeah, some of my friends have these same symptoms of being like really tired in the mornings, or, you know what I mean, like slightly depressed, or because most people I know have these things, we just go, well, that's normal, right? Or because I know people have, right? So like you said, it's super easy. It is easy to sort of pass aside.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a part of life, you know, like, oh, I was super tired this morning, so I hit this snooze button. Or, you know, maybe you have like a little depressing thoughts, or you're sad more often, or you have low levels of energy, but you think it's just because you didn't have enough sleep. And that probably is the problem. But the overall problem is lower levels of testosterone. And you can especially see that with your body as well in the physical aspect.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for the guys listening saying, does this apply to me? I want to bring something up that you may have well brought up, but I think is valid to the guys listening. Women smell our testosterone levels. Like they there's a sweat profile that we pick up on subconsciously when we're around people. And women can smell your hormone levels. Like, they're not aware of it, but that's part of the attraction process, right? Your natural scent. And yet women respond to that, right? If your T levels are low, you're actually going to find that women will be less sexually responsive to you, right? Not through any like behavioral thing, but through a subconscious pathway, right? And it's a thing, because obviously a lot of the guys watching, they're wanting to be more attractive to women, want to talk to women. If their T levels are low, you're actually making that harder on a level you have no control over unless you deal with your testosterone levels.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure that's come up for you in your line of work too.
100%. And just to add on that, women can feel your intention too. If you don't have, you know, higher levels of testosterone or normal levels of testosterone, you're not going to go up to a woman with, you know, that powerful intent to set the frame. You know what I mean? Or maybe you're not going to have enough energy to have sex with a girl at the end of the night, or you don't feel like having sex every day. And these are all little nuances that, like you said, women can experience, or they know, you know, when someone has low levels of testosterone, because they don't have that alpha presence. It's just not there. There's something off, tiredness, laid back. We as men need to be energetic in our role to be that alpha male presence.
Hmm. Yeah. It's interesting, just as an interesting side note, I've read some really amazing reports on, like, research on testosterone, which is so crazy. And it's really curious. It's like testosterone, when we place men around attractive women, testosterone usually makes us more assertive, right? That's a thing. That's not a surprise, right? But if we place men, so we often think of testosterone as making people unagreeable. That's often a correlation we have in our head, right? But what's really fascinating, it only kind of mildly relates to this, but I like random facts, so tough it out, saying to the audience. But if you take the men and you place them in a game where the men have to cooperate to win, the men with the highest testosterone are the most cooperative. So it's a really interesting aspect that testosterone doesn't turn men into assholes. It makes us it's an interesting thing. It tends to focus energy and make us directed, right? Which again comes into motivation to get work done and stuff like that. And I'm sure you've heard that if you're balding, you're 30% more likely to be a millionaire than if you're not. Because that's connected to testosterone, not directly, but through testosterone pathways. All this stuff, right? High testosterone makes us not assholes, but it makes us more focused on an outcome, whether that's to be less agreeable or whether it's to be more agreeable and better group working, right? It just makes us more focused. It's a very useful hormone like that. So
100%.
I know some guys sometimes, like when you say the alpha presence, some guys are like, well, I don't want them to become an asshole. It's like, that's not what it does directly, right?
Exactly.
But yes, I do know exactly what you mean. It makes you more willing to go for what you want. And that's what women want. They want a guy who's like, I do want this. And he goes for it. Okay. And so, all right. So if you got a bunch of guys and they're thinking, I wonder if this is something that I need to look at, what would be some of the lifestyle things or the, you know, the things that the guys would say, hey, I do that, that could well be leading to low testosterone levels. What are some of the things that you'd tell guys, hey, if you're doing this, if you've got this, if this is happening, this could be really impacting you?
Well, I'm going to start with something that most men are doing, and virtually everybody is doing, is that they're raising what's called insulin. Obviously, you've heard of insulin before. If you're a diabetic, you have high levels of insulin in the bloodstream, and that's how you become a diabetic. So insulin is this hormone that gets secreted by the pancreas every time that you eat carbohydrates, okay? There's what's called a glycemic index. So some carbohydrates spike your blood sugar more than others, okay? In the standard Western diet or the standard diet all around, people are eating carbohydrates 3 to 5 times a day, plus maybe snacks included, okay? So say you're having, you know, toast in the morning, and then you have toast and for lunch, and then you have rice and sweet potatoes at night. Well, you're spiking your insulin throughout the day, all throughout the day. They're almost like uncontrolled spikes in insulin. And every time that insulin is present, testosterone is not. Okay. So insulin is this hormone that works in opposite of testosterone and growth hormone, which is another hormone that's responsible for fat loss. So the biggest problem that people are experiencing or the biggest thing that they're doing is they're raising their insulin levels throughout the day in an uncontrolled fashion. And when this is happening over time, over years of eating carbohydrates, especially the refined carbohydrates, like breads, pastas, bagels, crackers, whole grain cereals, and all this stuff, what's happening is people are becoming more and more insulin resistant, okay? So when you're eating these carbohydrates, say now, you know, you're 35 years old, you're like, oh my God, like I can't lose weight like I used to. It's because you're becoming more and more insulin resistant, and there's more sugars and carbohydrates that are floating around in the bloodstream and not being shuttled into the cells of your body. Because insulin is this key, you can think of it like a key. And it unlocks the door to the cell to shuttle in the nutrients, the sugars, the carbohydrates into the cells. What's happening is it's being called upon so much day after day, year after year, that the cell almost becomes unresponsive to this master key, insulin. Okay. So now what's happening is men are having these excess sugars floating around in the bloodstream. And if they can't get into the cells of your body, they're going to be stored around your organs as fat. And that spillover effect is going to go around your gut. It could go to a puffy face. It could be distributed in different areas of the body. So one of the major changes that we have to make, and I know now I'm sounding, I may make it sound like carbs are the enemy here and everybody likes carbohydrates, but they have to be eaten in a timely fashion or in a controlled manner. And one of the best things to do is to get your body to get used to eating more fat and protein, utilizing fat as a fuel source, as opposed to having carbohydrates being shuttled into your body day in and day out. Okay? Because fat and protein don't spike your insulin like carbohydrates do. So if you're monitoring the amount of insulin that your pancreas is producing, you're making it easier on your pancreas and not producing as much insulin, you're going to become more insulin sensitive now that you're eating the right foods, better quality foods, so that your natural testosterone levels can be raised because insulin is being suppressed. And at the same time, insulin is your friend. So, you know, when you work out, okay, you become insulin sensitive. When you go for long walks, you become insulin sensitive. When you have time between meals, you become insulin sensitive. So there are important times where you can spike your insulin so that, you know, your muscle cells and the cells of your body can get that protein and the carbohydrates. But it's almost like, okay, now for the rest of the day, let's turn off insulin. Let's raise our testosterone. Let's get our body switched to more fat burning rather than being introduced by an influx of carbohydrates day in and day out.
Yeah, right. And that then would be worse when you're like me, right? Like my most of the time I eat pretty well, but when I have a bad week, when stuff's tough, I mean, sugar like sweets is my go-to. It's one of the, because I don't drink alcohol, right? I don't do drugs. Everyone needs their release. So that's one of my like coping strategies, which would be the worst offenders, obviously, right? Because that would spike my insulin like no one's business.
Right. But at the same time, when you become more insulin sensitive, so when your cells become more responsive to insulin again, you can introduce these, you know, these cheat meal type things again. Because, you know, if you're just doing it one day, and I teach this with my guys so much because, you know, they have Thanksgiving, they have, you know, they're going for dinner with a girl, or they're going for dinner with family, whatever it is. When you become insulin sensitive, when you have cheat meals like this, it doesn't have as much of an impact as if, you just kept eating a standard diet. Okay. Because now you're becoming more insulin sensitive. So you might be able to shuttle more of these carbohydrates and sugars into the cells of your body without as much damage. But that raises a good point because, you know, you have some people who might be listening to this podcast and they may rarely eat, you know, they may be so busy that they only eat one meal or two meals a day. But in those meals, there could be too many carbohydrates. And at the same time, they already might be insulin resistant, so it doesn't matter how much they're eating. Their cells are not responsive to insulin, and that needs to be fixed ASAP.
That's interesting. It's a funny one. I've never known the correlation between the inverse correlation between insulin and testosterone before. I've never come across that. And that's I'm guessing that was an important channel for your own life experience as well. And it's a curious one, which is interesting because it's like stress hormones and estrogen for women are inversely related to one pretty much locks off the production of the other. So what are your, like, you know, when you're working with guys, and you're trying to get them to shift, because it's really, you can't, to change, diet's always tricky for people, right? Because you can't really change diet unless you overhaul your lifestyle, right? Like your life and your diet are so intimately linked. And that's why, you know, forget testosterone for a second. Just losing weight is so difficult for people because you can't lose weight without overhauling most of our lives, like to some degree, revolve around food and eating habits, mm-hmm. right? So you have to really completely radically change the lifestyle choices and things you do on a multiple times every single day, like for the rest of your life. Because you can't just go, well, I'm going to be really good for 2 weeks and then I'm sweet. You actually have to change it forever or there's no point.
Exactly.
How do you... Yeah, I don't know. How do you help guys make that shift? Because that is hard mm-hmm. mentally. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying. So it is hard. It is hard, especially if you're doing it by yourself and you don't know what you're doing. Okay, because the fact is when you're eating more carbohydrates in your diet, carbohydrates raise your blood sugar, like I said. And what happens after your blood sugar goes up, it comes down. And it comes up and it goes down. So you get hungry and then you want to eat again. You get hungry and you want to eat again. Mm. So now if you're taking out these carbohydrates, your body's going to be like, whoa, like, it's going to be in shock, right? Because it's using carbohydrates as a fuel source. One of the major things that I do with my guys is I get them to start eating foods that actually, well, number one, make testosterone. So these are foods with zinc and magnesium, high amounts of magnesium. So these are good quality red meats, salmons, fish, cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, cauliflower, stuff like that. But I also make sure that their potassium, magnesium, and sodium levels are up, okay? Because with the standard diet, people are not getting enough potassium. And potassium is that electrolyte that makes you powerful, that makes you your muscles work. When you're eating more of a carbohydrate diet, people have high amounts of salt and sodium in the bloodstream. This is why there's people are having high cholesterol or high blood pressure or heart problems, stuff like that. So we need to raise the potassium, raise your magnesium and your salt, which are the top three electrolytes, and I make sure that they're getting the adequate amount, because if they're getting adequate amounts of electrolytes, they're not going to experience these hunger pains and hunger and you know, just feel like binging when they stop eating sugar or stop doing something like that. So there are a couple supplements that I recommend all of my clients get right off the hop that will manage their hunger levels. And once you get past, for some people it takes days, for some people it takes weeks, maybe 2 weeks, you know, when they cut out the sugar. But once you get over that period of transitioning to more of a fat burning machine is what I like to call it, then it becomes super powerful because you can go longer times without eating. And like I said, when you're not eating, you're raising your testosterone, you're raising your growth hormone. That's why when you wake up in the morning, you notice that you're lighter than you are at night. That's because you've gone hours and hours without eating, right? So the longer you can go without eating, and again, not saying you never eat, obviously, but the more you can go between meals, the longer you can go, the better. The more high quality foods that you're eating when you do eat matters. So if you're eating three high quality meals, you know, maybe breakfast is eggs and bacon, spinach and vegetables, stuff like that. You move into your lunch, and then you introduce carbohydrates, some lower glycemic ones like sweet potato or lentils or something like that at night, your body's going to be operating at a much higher level and you're not going to be experiencing dips in your hunger level and you're getting super hungry and your mood will stay clear because your blood sugar is being regulated. You're not spiking your insulin. You're not having these hunger pains and everything gets a lot better.
Yeah. I've noticed that, because I worked hard to get into intermittent fasting, which was hard at first, but you really do adapt, don't you? Especially when you make sure like there's enough like protein and fat. Like I find those two, if I've got an okay amount of protein and fat in what I eat, like healthy fats when possible, it just takes me so much longer to get hungry again. Like it really It makes intermittent fasting very doable. But if I don't, like if I eat something that's very, like if I just eat bread, for example, you know, at 4 o'clock when I have my last meal, by like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, I'm really hungry again.
Exactly.
Like I'm ravenous and I just can't pull it off.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you're having, again, you have that blood sugar spike and then it comes down and like, you know, now you're searching for food. It makes it so much harder to go to the next meal. And that's why over time, you know, I never recommend people start fasting for long amounts of time. Maybe it's just 12 hours to start, maybe even 13 hours. But the more your body gets primed to using fat as a fuel source, the longer you can go and the more powerful the benefits, especially in cutting body fat. You could cut visceral fat around your stomach and different areas of your body at a really fast rate. And that's the time too where you're becoming insulin sensitive, your testosterone's going up, your energy is elevated. You know, you don't have times where you want to wake up in the morning and then hit the snooze button. Your sex drive is going up and things are going a lot better because you're starting to burn fat for fuel. You're starting to become insulin sensitive. Your body is starting to work normally again.
Yeah.
It's a lot of information.
I mean, you certainly weren't walking around the wild eating three meals a day. It's a little more complicated than that, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting. And how long would you say, like, how long do you find it takes for guys to start noticing a difference in how they feel and how, because obviously the testosterone levels change and then you change shortly after that point. How long is that turnaround normally for guys when they really start to focus on their diet and getting that right?
I'll give you an example. I have a client right now and he has pre-diabetes and he has borderline high cholesterol and he's in his 50s. And I got on a call with him about a week and a half into working with him. And then he said, Nick, I feel like my blood pressure has gone down. And I was like, how? You know, I said, well, he said, I feel, he used to feel it like in his face. He'd have like a red face, always like kind of antsy because when you have high blood pressure, you can kind of feel the pressure in your head. He said, I don't feel it anymore. So the turnaround time for something like this could be, geez, just a matter of weeks, for some people days. I remember when because I didn't always do this, right? Like I said, I, you know, used to be cramming sweet potatoes, eating 500 grams of carbohydrates and trying to bulk and do this and that. And it was really affecting my mental state, my sleep. I really felt myself getting sick all the time and doing stuff like that. But I was able to turn around quick to this new way of eating. It does depend on your age too and where you're at health wise. Some people adapt to it faster than others. But I always say it needs to be done with some help because, like you said, if you just go off on a whim and try and do it, you know, you see a lot of people trying to intermittent fast for 2 weeks and then falling off. It really needs to be gradual and implemented at a rate at which it can be sustained, you know. But it's not saying something like this is really, you know, super, super hard because everybody can do it. But it's just different for everybody on getting started.
Yeah, I'll double that actually. I mean, I see this a lot. You know, guys will often say, well, I can do this. I don't just mean the testosterone stuff or weight loss. They say, I can do this on my own. And it's really interesting because it is actually most these things like weight loss, getting better with women, starting a business, all these things, you absolutely can do it alone, right? There's no reason why you need someone to hold your hand through the process. But the one thing I've learned is that it is really hard and it's slow and we usually screw up a bunch of times. And, you know, it's often one of those messages. If I could say one thing to my younger self, like my 20-year-old self, like the second you can, pay to get help with everything you really want to like get sorted in your life, right? Pick your battles one at a time, but get someone because they can get you there so fast. mm-hmm. right? And they know all mm-hmm. the pitfalls, and they know, like, I'm so behind it, which is one of the reasons I'm a coach too, right? I mean, of course you can learn to get better with women alone. You don't have to have a coach either. You can put on muscle alone, but man, when you have someone who knows how it's done, it is so much easier.
Yeah, I can relate totally. Yeah. I've even in business and for myself, I've invested multiple times. For my health, I've invested in myself multiple times. And every time I did that, it worked out for the better, because it's really hard to go off on a whim. But when you're following somebody that knows how to do it, and you have a surefire way that you can get there, an actionable plan, it makes such a difference. You can just implement it in your life. Okay, what am I going to do today? When am I going to do it? For how long am I going to spend on this or that, right? You have a system. So it kind of eliminates the guesswork, so to speak.
Yeah, it really does. And so, look, for guys listening, we've talked about it. You work online, so it doesn't matter where they're living. The fact that you're in Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada, is irrelevant for them, for your ability to support them, right? Because this is not something that you have to be literally holding their hand with. You can be figuratively doing it, right, online. How can they, what's the best way for them to sort of find you, to get in touch, to, you know, what would you tell guys?
The best way to get in touch with me would be to be on Instagram. It's at Nick Soulias, which we could drop in the podcast as well.
Totally.
Another way would be through LinkedIn, and then I also have my email as well. But like I said as well, I mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast, there is a testosterone assessment that I'd love for you guys to take, especially if you're struggling with your health right now and you're not where you want to be. I have some free guides that I want to send you, and I can't wait to send you. So make sure you fill that out. And we can even connect through email through that channel as well.
Perfect. Okay. So what I'll do is, so it's if they want to find you on Instagram, it's at Nick, N-I-C-K, Soulias, S-O-U-L-I-A-S.
Yeah.
If like they're listening, they want to quickly look up on the phone, go ahead and do that right now, guys. Just add him and say hello, and I'm sure he'll be nice and say hello back. But yeah, definitely I'll throw up that link on the podcast when I throw it up to do that test. I think that'd be interesting for guys to check out and just see, you know, where they're really at. That'd be a great idea. Is there anything else you'd like to, anything sort of last things you'd like to say to the guys listening around this?
Yeah, for sure. There's one thing I do want to add, and I didn't talk about it a lot during the podcast, but the amount of sleep that you get also has a huge impact on your testosterone levels. And when you switch to this way of eating, you know, where you're reversing insulin resistance, you're becoming insulin sensitive again. You're getting your body to use fat for fuel, and essentially down the road, even your own fat for fuel, your circadian rhythm starts to change. You're going to notice that you'll unlock more hours of deep sleep, which is huge for increasing your testosterone, huge for muscle recovery, huge for growth hormone benefits. And as well, you'll be able to execute your workouts even more effectively. So your workouts as well are a huge part in increasing your testosterone, given that you're following a plan that has you increasing the resistance week after week, coming in with, you know, a good amount of energy for your workouts. You're progressing every week. Knowing that is in check as well is a huge factor in driving up your testosterone levels, so that you're not overtraining, you're not working too hard, you're working just enough, you're recovering just enough. And when you pair it again with this type of nutritional protocol, your natural testosterone levels could increase by hundreds of thousands of percent. So these are two other factors, sleep and exercise, that are huge for testosterone. And again, it's something that I make sure that my clients have the right amount of. They're not overtraining. And it really depends on your overall work schedule and what your stress is like. That needs to be monitored as well. So those are two important factors as well. And in the free guides, you're going to receive some information on sleep and exercise as well.
Yeah, sleep is a huge one. I mean, most people are, it's more than average. More than half people are sleep deprived continually, like chronically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is such a big one. Yeah, I do know that. And any guy who's ever spent much time in the gym will know that mentally that changes you, right? It that shifts your hormones. There's no doubt that it being fit, like being healthy, like exercise wise, is a huge 100%. Impact. I'll definitely attest to that.
Yeah, and if you're not sleeping, you don't have that energy, you know, every day that you want, that mental clarity. Yeah, you got to be sleeping, because if you're not sleeping, chances are you're stressed out, because cortisol mm-hmm. will go up. And over time, if you're not sleeping, okay, now you have this buildup of stress from not sleeping, which is detrimental to your testosterone as well. So when you put it all together, you need to put yourself in an environment where you can really increase your natural testosterone, which is definitely possible for everybody listening to the podcast.
Yeah, definitely. Nick. Yeah, thanks so much for coming on board and reaching out and thinking of us. I do think this is an important one. I think this is going to be important for a good number of our listeners. So yeah, guys, have a reach out to him at Nick Soulias on Instagram, and I'll throw up some other ways I can get in contact with you on the podcast as well.
Awesome. Great chat today. Excited to be speaking to everyone here.